Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Screencast Special WrestleMania Ranked. I'm Greg, that's Mike, that's Tim, that's Roger, and on our way to the granddaddy of them all, we've invited a member of the wrestling world to pick a WrestleMania match for us each and every week to review and rank before we head to Philadelphia in April. If you love what we do, please support us with the Kinda Funny membership. Of course, that would get you each and every episode of WrestleMania Ranked ad-free. You could watch us record it live. You, of course, could watch all the podcasts record live. You could get everything ad-free, and you'd get my daily multimedia experience, Greg Way.
Ooh, I like that.
We're workshopping on that. If you don't have any bucks to toss our way, no big deal. You can get the screencast for free with ads and without the exclusive content on YouTube and podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kishan Patel, Nathan Lamoth, Karen Lindner, James Hastings, Casey Andrew.
Lindner.
I'm going to say it the way I say it. You say it the way you say it. And whenever he wants, Mr. Lyndon Nerner wants to come through and say something to us, he'll say, there it is. And he'll say it what it is. You know what I mean? But until I hear it from him, it's whatever I say as it is on the show.
I got it.
Set the tone.
Thank you. That's what I do
here. It's a multimedia experience, everybody.
Roger Ficorni, thank you for joining us.
Of course. This is exciting. Thank you for having me.
It's very exciting to have you, of course, Raj, because Tim and I were happy to have Mike on board with wrestling, to see him get excited for wrestling. For you to come in and take it so seriously,
yes.
Where every time I turn around and look at your desk, you're watching a new A&E biography.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, last night came home around maybe 11. Mike and I ate a ton of In-N-Out, and I sat down in bed about midnight, took a shower, looked at Leanne's, and I said, I'm watching 3 hours of Raw. I'm doing it. So like, well, yeah. She's like, okay, fine.
Did she roll over? She's
like on her. She's like, okay, I guess an excuse to play more video games. I guess I'm just going to do that. Yeah. Okay. So that's how deep it's going. So I'm very excited to be here. I'm excited to look back because I'm in the current stage right now.
That's all you know?
I never look back. I'm always going forward.
So now I can finally look back.
We were in the car watching YouTube of Raw while eating in the It was a dream. It was a dream situation.
Imagine what it's going to be like next year. 1 year from now, when you're in the car, you just boot up Netflix. There you are. You're there. Raw in its entirety.
Can't wait.
The dream, Tim.
It really is.
Of course, this dream is only possible because of our sponsors. Thank you to Shady Rays, WWE 2K24, and Robinhood. But let's start with a video to explain how we got here.
Hey, Slapnuts. And yeah, you, Miller. I've been requested, and somebody from the team on the WrestleMania review show. It's a highly successful show, which I have no idea how it actually is if you're a part of it, but hey, maybe content's king and you're not really part of the content. But anyway, Miller, you little slap nut, I'd like to slap the taste out of your mouth today just to make me feel better. Anyhow, down to business. You want a match to review from the old Last Outlaw, old Double J, Jeff Jarrett, the Hall of Famer? Let's go back to WrestleMania 11, Hartford, Connecticut. Man, we're going deep into the archives. I think you're going to be surprised. We had lots of crossover appeal in the early days. Salt and Pepper were there. Lawrence Taylor, my buddy Mongo McMichael, first time I met him. Brett, Sean, Diesel, the list. But top to bottom, I thought it was a hell of a show. And me and the bad guy, Razor Ramon, got it on. X-Pac, Six-Pac, 1-2-3 Kid in those days was in his corner. The Road Dog was in mine. Stay tuned. I think for a WrestleMania match, an Intercontinental title match, you may be surprised at the finish. Miller, get your ass off the cameras. You're killing this show. Roll the tape.
Wow.
I was surprised by the finish because it was bullshit, but we'll get to it when we get here. All right. It's WrestleMania. Pin somebody. Do something. This isn't Monday Night Raw. Let's go back to WrestleMania 11 live from Hartford, Connecticut on April 2nd, 1995 in front of 15,000 diehard WWF fans.
That is wild. There have been RTXs with more people than that.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Pretty.
I mean, this is everyone who lives in Hartford, I think.
Every single person.
Free tickets for the whole city.
1995, I don't think I've ever seen something that felt more 1995. Booting this up on Peacock, and I always love when we're doing these, I want to watch the intro to the WrestleMania.
Just to set
the tone to see where we're at. Holy bejesus, this is 1995. The music playing, it reminded me of being a little kid.
Pumping up, it's time for WrestleMania.
So funny.
Yeah.
Just being with Kevin's mom, like her like taking us out to like different restaurants and shit. Like just like that would be the music just playing wherever we were. And I hate this intro. Like it is offensively bad. Like I get that it's 11, so they just did 10, so I'm sure 10 was amazing. They literally do a thing, Raj, because I know you didn't see this part. It goes, there's a VO, WrestleMania 1, and you see a clip of it. WrestleMania 2, WrestleMania 3. It's like, we fucking know, you guys. Like, don't say it. Maybe show a logo. Maybe do something. Do not say WrestleMania 1 through 10 over and over and over. Oh, my God. It was.
They had to fill some time.
It feels right for the time period. It all feels right.
It's such a funny trip down memory lane to go this far back. We were talking about this before, obviously, with 2K24 and doing the showcase mode and with your 40 years of WrestleMania. You get those tastes in their memory. Like, you know, obviously Hogan slamming Andre, even if you're not a wrestling fan, is a moment you've seen, right? Maybe just in the beginning, right, of then, now, forever together. But, like, you see these things that you have. We all have this collective understanding of, but to get there, and I did the same thing of I hit play and usually I fast forward to the match, but I was like, well, hold on, I'm getting my notes in order. So I just let it play through the national anthem into the first match as the British Bulldog and Lex Luger come out to fight. I'm like, all right.
I mean, dude, well, here's the thing. Not only WrestleMania 1, WrestleMania 2, we get to WrestleMania 11 featuring.
Oh, no.
Baywatch's Pamela Anderson. Home Improvement's Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Oh, wow. Second.
From NYPD Blue. Like, it's like, what the fuck are we doing here? I did enjoy that.
I think the King said it best, right? He explained, Vince asked about this, and he explained that this is the biggest thing in the world. You know what I mean? Sports, entertainment, and entertainment. You know?
Yeah.
They were always grasping for that mainstream acceptance, Tim. God. And when you can get that guy from NYPD Blue on there, and to do the backstage segments in Pamela Anderson's locker room or whatever the hell it was.
I get it. But, man, yeah, some of that stuff, rougher than rough. You know?
Yeah. But again, to go this far back and watch it in context, like this is a mania I remember watching. This is a mania we had on pay-per-view where I went to Eric's house or somebody, and I remember watching this. And obviously, for WrestleMania 11, you know, in the time, you don't know any better of any of it. And so it's always crazy to go this far back. And I think we mentioned this last week, but have the old iron rails, you know, just the normal ass guard rails, nothing special. These entrances that aren't anything special. Yeah. Like it's just a bunch of people in the, and like even for, I mean, we'll get to it, I guess, when we get into the actual breakdown of the match. But when they're like, you remember how this match started at the Royal Rumble? I'm like, motherfucker, that was January. It's April. We're still stretching out that at the Royal Rumble, there are shenanigans. Like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, what a different time for professional wrestling.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love it. You say it's not, the entrances like aren't special, but like they make it feel special.
Well,
like,
let's jump into the tape, everybody. We'll go through, break down, and rate them all out of 5. You can, let's start with the hype pack. That's also the entrance. It's another one of these. It's another one of them where they slammed it together. Weird. Chocolate, peanut butter, everything's mixed up, right? So it's like the entrances, they try to make them special.
Yeah,
try. Jeff Jarrett coming out with his light-up glasses. The roadie, the road dog with them, of course. He'll go on to DX fame, obviously, later as a New Age Outlaw. But Jeff just gets into the ring. So then we can stop and cut back behind the curtain.
Weird, right? Yeah. Like, we're going back. I'm like, okay, it's not a pay-per-view. It's peer-review, so it's not like a commercial break situation, right? So they go back. The mic doesn't work. 1, 2, 3.
You literally have them like, can you hear me? And it's like, we can't,
the
bro.
Mic doesn't work. And then we cut back, and then he comes out. What is there something I'm missing here? Or is that just a weird pacing situation?
Again, like, you know, this is what I'm talking about. In context, in the old days, it didn't seem weird.
Okay.
But now to go back, like, you know, I don't remember if everything was like, I don't remember it being like this all the time and whatever. It was a choice they made to get Jeff out there to then have the cutback, to then have them talk, to then have them enter.
Yeah.
interrupt the entrance to fight. They ring the bell, but then they clear the ring. So Razor Ramon, like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, and so just talking about the entrances, I will say there's something about this, even though this was 11. Last week we watched a match from 13,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I thought the entrances were way better for this one. I thought that the pomp and circumstance, getting the music note like projected on the ring, and the Razor Ramon's like fucking sparklers or whatever.
I mean, like Razor Ramon's entrance. If I think if you don't interrupt it, it would have been great. Because that Razor Ramon's was always good. I mean, just Scott Hall. Like, you know, the late, great Scott Hall. What a master showman. Because as soon as he comes out and he does the, like he always did when he came, like, you're like, fuck, this guy's cool.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, yeah, this is fucking neat.
Yeah. I just thought, like, the pomp and circumstance of the entrances was way better at this one than WrestleMania 13. I was very impressed by that. That is maybe the only compliment I'm going to be giving this match at all.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're all slammed together. 1-2-3 kid trying to talk to a microphone that's not on.
What the fuck is this?
Jeff Jarrett strutting away. And then also just the 1-2-3 kid just like I obviously I know much of Sean Waltman's history and everything, but I am watching this one. Why is he dressed like a geisha? why is he in these fine silk Japanese robe?
Like, yeah.
What was
when
this?
He tries to stop Jeff Jarrett, he's doing that.
Yeah, like, what I mean, that he always did. He leaned into the karate or whatever, taekwondo or whatever. I'm not that versed in it.
Yeah.
But like that was part of his shtick of like his stance. And a stance, but like the dressing, I was like, what is this cultural appropriation that we're into right now? Why are we going this way with it?
This is weird. I mean, like we've talked about this a lot on the show of like where we all came in with wrestling. This is very, very, very before my time. And for as much as I've heard about Razor Ramon, I know Andy like loves him. I'm not exactly sure where they're like. I get a lot of stuff.
You're not their current relationship.
I do not know these people. I've never seen like Jeff Jarrett. I know from coming to the studio and stuff. I've never seen a match of his. Like I'm unfamiliar with their music, with anything going on.
Same.
So I was really going into this entire experience like the way that Gia or Lianza would just watching any wrestling match and like, would this make sense to them at all? And I gotta say, this match did not make sense to me whatsoever. I don't know who these people are.
Yeah.
I don't know what their relationship. There's way too many people. There's way too many elements going on at every single moment. And yeah, this guy's doing poses and stuff. And like, I get, oh, I just don't know because I don't know. It felt like more than that. But am I wrong there, Greg?
No, I think the hype package does a terrible job of being hype packaged. Like, it's not, it happens in the middle of it. And it's just like, okay, yeah, on January 22nd, he got him in a small package and or whatever, a roll-up and won because he got distracted by the roadie.
I think I might have watched this. This is the one with, like, the VO where it's like the bad guy does this and then this happens. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, gotcha. Yeah, I hear that too. I'm so confused.
And it's like, it's totally flat. It doesn't even, like, really drive home what we're doing. Because, like, this match, and again, I have not gone beyond this match in terms of where we go from here, but clearly I guess we're building to just a tag match, right, where they're all going to fight. But so it's like this match for the Intercontinental Championship gets lost in the fact that it's just building to a lame tag match when it should be the Intercontinental Championship should be a bigger deal here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let alone that the instigating thing is like Razor Ramon got screwed out of the title, okay, I guess, by getting distracted by Road Dogg, but it's not like it was that. It's not like he got like, you know, like when Hogan caught the when he's fighting Yokozuna and the camera went off and blew fire in his face or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you shouldn't have fucking looked at the manager. It happens all the time. What are you gonna do? It's like a weird escalation that went on for 3 months to get to this point to have this match that then ends in a total DQ. It's like, well, interesting. Bizarre. All right. Anyways, the one thing I had a couple other things I called out, right? To actually walk through the chaos. Well, I guess before then, of course, the late great Howard Finkel. My ring announcer, you know what I mean? As much as I love Samantha and everybody else, but like rolling his R's for Razor Ramon. I'm like, damn, you're fucking killing the Fink. And then, I love just, I don't love it, but I mean, I love just the insanity of this start where it's like, okay, cool, you're entering. And then they run through the press, the cameraman,
to
get in there to beat on Jeff. They ring the bell, throw him out, then they pose and hit the fireworks.
That's cool to me. That was cool to me. It's messy, but once we got that moment, okay, maybe this entrance somewhat worth it. Yeah. Once we get the sparklers going.
I mean, I'm with you with that where it's like, the moment that happened, I'm like, well, this is fucking awesome. But I was just so caught up in, why are there so many people around the ring? Oh, there's never press like this. Like
back in the day, there used to be.
Okay.
This is a like picture of his
so
day.
Many people.
Back to the thing I was referencing.
Real press. This is real press, is not actors.
I mean, like Wrestling Observer. Okay, and stuff. Yeah. I mean, gotcha. Yes, real.
It's
I mean,
not like actors or anything like that. Like,
I'm not I mean, I'm a child watching it, but yeah, I know how many magazines I bought that were Pro Wrestling Illustrated that had photos from ringside. So I do believe they are, in fact, maybe not all of them. Because again, this did infamously when Hogan lost to Yokozuna. It was that a cameraman got up there and Hogan went to get him away and he shot fire in his face. And then that was it.
That's so cool. That's
very cool.
Yeah. Hype package non-existent. The word of this match for me is pandemonium because, yes, that is what it introduces quickly with this entrance. I do love Jeff Jarrett's outfit. I mean, as someone who this, I have no idea of this time or place of wrestling, but we know Jeff Jarrett and this man coming out in that outfit with that hair, with those giant biceps. It's like, man, Jeff Jarrett was that dude. And this guy, Razor Ramon, looked incredible as well. Like the whole combo of these two were awesome. Running through the press to me was fun as can be. Then resetting for the crazy sparklers was nuts. So yeah, the entrance gets a little more love for me, but yeah, the hype package non-existent.
Yeah, for me, no, for a hype package, I put 1 out of 5. Terrible.
Yeah, I agree. 1 out of 5.
I agree. Where are you going for your
entrance?
Yeah.
I'll give him a 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
It wasn't great, but it was fun. It was like, oh, something's going down here. This is weird. And the outfits, right? I think the outfits really moved the needle for me of like, you get to see a time and a place where we were in 1995, right? And like, seeing Jeff Jarrett, who I've only seen in a t-shirt and jeans, walking out doing the strut. Never seen him in a dope outfit like this. And I'll tell you, that outfit's pretty dope. That outfit's pretty dope, y'all.
I love that you love it.
Yeah, I put a 2 for entrances as well. Like, I think there could have been a better continuity to him, which I would have, because, like, the running through the press could have been cool, but the fact that I see the sparklers in the ring, I'm like, well, they're going to still do that. So it was like a very discombobulated where we were going with. Yeah. I love Razor's entrance. That is so, and even his theme, the dunk, 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 dunk. Like that's like iconic as a kid, Greg.
Yeah.
But overall, like put it together, I didn't like it.
I think I'm at a 2 out of 5 as well. I think I'm a little higher than y'all just because like I see the vision. Like I see what they're going for. They just had too many moving pieces here to make it something that's cohesive and fun to rewatch. Because I think if they remove some of those pieces, especially the going back and backstage talking to 1-2-3 kid and the mic cutting out, I think this would have been probably a light 3 out of 5 for me, but it's a 2 out of 5.
I'm actually right there where I feel like this had all the makings of a 3 out of 5, but it is definitively a 2 out of 5 because there's a lot of cool stuff that did work. There's just way too much that didn't. And it wasn't even like, the stuff that didn't work and then it did work. It was like it was back and forth and back and forth throughout it. I loved Jeff Jarrett's jacket, his like walkout
attire.
Oh, the
double J jacket. Ooh, that's
loved all
fresh.
That. Did not love his in-ring attire as much, but it's okay. I appreciate that he tried something. And I will say, not having ever seen a Razor Ramon match, not knowing anything, like I know about him, but I don't know a lot. Him just being the bad guy, whatever, pulled it off. Like he is a superstar. He sells, his music hits, him walking out. I'm like, I can't give this that bad of an entrance because like you're awesome.
Yeah. So you went 2 as well?
I'm going 2 on
that. Okay, just making sure I didn't lose you there.
Really quick. Where does the double J with the guitars come into play? Is that later in his career? Is that
I mean,
or is that part of the same time?
It is all from this. I am not a double J historian. I lived through the double J era, obviously, of him coming to WWF and that being my introduction. But his whole deal is that he's a country music superstar.
Okay.
And that's why he has
from
a roadie.
Music City, USA.
He's got a music city. Gotcha. So I'm not sure when he must have smashed people with the guitars by now. I'm not sure, though, and I couldn't tell you.
Gotcha.
I mean, by the time we get to the Gunner optic short hair, just trunks of Attitude Era, he's got a guitar with him all the time. He's smashing the shit out of people left and right, let alone WCW, where he's on a tear of hitting people. So, yeah, but I'm not versed enough to tell you when that starts.
I can assume this is right after WCW goes under, right?
Oh, my God, no. Yeah. You're years from WWE. We haven't even gotten to Attitude. We haven't gotten to the Monday Night Wars.
Oh, fuck.
No.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm all over the place.
No, it's okay. It's hard.
It's really hard.
And that's why we love having you.
Especially with the revisionist history.
Yeah, for real.
It's like, okay, holy what happened? Shit. When did it happen?
Yeah.
Was that really how it
was? Was this
happened?
In the WWE? I can't tell. I have no idea what's happening.
Let's move on to the match itself, ladies and gentlemen, which again is an interesting one. And remember, if you're joining us for the first time, which based on numbers, I know you're not. remember, there will be a section for the finish. So we're just talking about the match before we get to the finish itself. And I'll start rather than go through it. I think it's an okay match. I give it a 3 out of 5. I think it's a product of its time. Obviously, that means a lot of different things. But what I have in here and what I think really, when you talk about a match and you want to talk about just the art of professional wrestling, something you guys have touched on and we've talked about, and you know, Tim, for you to say that like the bad guy, he's a superstar, whatever. Like back to you, Mike. Like there's something about them in the ring, and they are both so good at the mechanics of wrestling. Scott Hall is such a unique figure as Razor Ramon, right? Because he's got such a long torso. And then Jarrett does have those muscles. He does have that hair. And it's a weird thing to think about or talk about if you haven't actually stopped to think or talk about it. But like, when you have somebody who can sell really well, and the reason so many wrestlers have that long hair is for that flick, right? Yeah. So you get movement off of a hit and it looks more impressive. And the way Razor hits and Jeff sells, it looks so powerful. It looks like they are kicking the shit out of each other in a way that it is just like, forget everything around it and just to sit there and be like, man, like they're actually doing this. This looks good.
Yeah, I agree. From somebody, again, like you, Tim, who has does not really know these wrestlers, at least watching them wrestle, this felt like two titans, like actually going at it at like an equal playing field. That's what I loved about this match. I would say that this is a 3 out of 5, close to a 4 out of 5, if this didn't have all the interference.
We don't need it.
No, we do not need any of the interference, because them going at each other, it is Reversal City. Like, you were punching left. It's awesome to see them go back and forth, and going off of what you say, they sell it. They sell every single move that's going through. There was not many times throughout this match where I was like, ooh, that could have been better. No, I think that they were doing a great job, just them two. Once we start getting into, oh my God, now the roadie kid over the fuck is in the back pulling on this. It's like, why are we doing this? Why are we diluting this match?
And that was the thing, I think, you know, again, I understand 1-2-3 kid is there as an answer to the roadie costing Razor the match last time around, right? But then when 1-2-3 kid starts doing the same kind of stuff the roadie is, and then Vince is trying to, you know, on commentary justify it while King's, and it's just like, there's so many things that I just want to see them go. And I think Jeff Jarrett is such a great heel,
yeah,
right? Like when in the beginning of the match, he has the roadie bring him water, and it's like that alone, you're like, ah, you want to hate this really guy, good. You know what I mean? And like, back to your point, Roger, is like, the reversals are so good, right? Like Jeff Jarrett fakes the rope move again after he misses that mid, right? Yeah, after failing it once, then he goes for the roll up, but he gets out of that. Then later on, there's the one, I have nice combos. It's a missed enziguri from Jeff Jarrett to a missed elbow from Razor Ramon. Even the misses that aren't connecting are happening in such fast succession that you're like, oh man, nobody can get an upper hand, and that's where the interference from one of them would make sense, but doing it together just is like a mess.
Yeah, and also I think it adds to this match where we have a fast count-out match where every single time they're down, 1-2, bang! Like, it is, we're going in this match, and I think that a lot of the rough edges, like, it smoothed over for me because we're going so fast.
Yeah, it's interesting for me. This is a product of its time, like you said, Greg. We are coming from the tippity top just recent where you see the Ultimate performance, and now we're going back in time to see like what it looked like at a WrestleMania, right? And I think for me, it's more of a 2 out of 5 to 3 out of 5. I had fun, but it wasn't flashy. It was more Irish whips. It was more power than what I was expecting. I thought we might see a little more off the top rope jumping. There was none of that, really. It was two guys moving each other around, and I actually liked the managers involved. We haven't had a manager, you know, sidekick match ever yet in the games, WrestleManias that we've reviewed. So I like having that kind of like, oh, will they, won't they? What's going on the sidelines? What are they going to do? And it did lead up to the finish that we'll talk about. It's like, oh, I didn't know it was going to take that step. Yeah. I thought for sure we would go one way. I did like that they got involved and like kind of teased some moments, but yeah, I thought it led up to a fun ending, at least for me.
Okay. So where are you coming down to?
I'm going to go with a 2 out of 5.
Okay. Timmy?
I'm really low on this one, man. Like, I did not have fun with this, and this is the first one I didn't have fun with. Like, even JBL Finley, it was like, I feel like that did such a great job of opening a WrestleMania and literally just two dudes beating the shit out of each other, and that's the point of, like, here's a trash can, here's Hornswoggle, here's all the stuff. Like, what the fuck is going on? Is it the best thing ever? Absolutely not. But, like, it served its purpose. I think this was just overbooked, and for all the things I appreciate about it, because I totally agree with what you're saying about like just both of their hair, the blonde and the dark, and just how powerful these two men are, I really appreciate it. I feel like their physicality is awesome, but they do everything in their power to get in the way of that. And I just feel like, especially how this match started with the entrances and how it ended with like such a dud of an ending. And again, just too much going on that it felt confusing. Like, I know wrestling. I understand they set up the rules of, he needs to win he needs to win a certain way to get the belt, or else he doesn't get the belt. Like, they're probably going to do that. I just feel like they did it in a very lame way. So yeah, this one, it's a 1 out of 5 for me. And I feel like I would say it's a 2 out of 5, but this is WrestleMania, baby. Like, this match needed in so many ways to be more than it was.
Yeah. I think you bring up a good point, right? Of like, there's a way to like, okay, you keep telling us, of course, it works for maybe Raj. I don't know how much he knows of it, but like, the title can only change hand on a pin or submission, right? So this would be good for Jeff Jarrett if there was a count out here. Yeah, like, you're laying out those ground rules, but to get to the finish we get to, which we'll get to in 1 second, it is like, it feels out of Jeff's hands,
yeah,
right? I would have much preferred him to sit up and be like, I can't beat him. Road Dogg, get in, do this thing. You know what I mean? Like, rather than it mirrors the beginning in the pandemonium sense of, it just feels no one's got their hand on the wheel, right? Of what is actually happening here.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of, you know, it's funny. Mike's got the match plan in a loop over here. And one of the things I have in my notes pop back up where there's a one part where Double J's got Razor draped across the second rope, comes in, drops leg across him, and then slides off perfectly and does the strut in the ring,
awesome.
Throws him to the corner, and then yells at somebody in the crowd to stand up for him. I'm like, that's fucking, like, you know what I mean? Like,
great.
There's so much good stuff. Yeah, Jeff Jarrett's great in the ring. He's a horrible person. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, They have so much in here that I do like, but it gets bogged down, and I think too many ingredients in what's going on. But I think, you know, it's an interesting one. And, like, even you bring up the fast count.
Yeah.
It's, again, an interesting one after we're watching so much wrestling right now, so many more modern Mania matches. And it's weird to watch this one, even, like, you're talking about the fast count from the late, great Timmy White, like, him dropping, right? And, like, even the way the mat sounds different. Like, when he's in, I'm like, oh, that's just a weird little thing. Not good or bad, just, like, an interesting product of the time and where we're at for it, right? Yeah, 100%.
Sure.
Well, this leads us then. Oh, I want to call out the two women freaking out that they're on camera. Oh, yeah. There's, like, two, like, I don't even know, 40-something-year-old, maybe 30-year-old women who, like, come down in the towards the end of the match there and then notice that they're on the Tron. They're all, like, flipping out.
WrestleMania,
Hartford, Connecticut. Hey, she's probably the mayor.
I love seeing the old-school Manias as well, because I love seeing the crowd. I like seeing the stadium, like Tim. I like seeing the setup. What's the entrance look like? And it is wild to go, now we're, like, deep in the 90s. We are going way back. And, man, it feels old. Yeah. It is amazing to be like, man, what was that stadium? What did it look like inside? Because you get to see it, and it's not big like we've seen on the massive side. And so, yeah, what a time period. What a special moment. I love that.
I love the ring. I like the ring ropes, getting the red, white, and blue there. Like, it definitely, it feels of its time, I think, in a good way with a lot of the presentation of it for this one.
Yeah, it just feels small.
Yeah.
It feels like 100% to me. Yeah.
Not to, for Raj, I guess, then, I'm not sure. I assume you know, but you know that it was always red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Just make sure. Those were always the ropes for old school WWE. Yeah.
But exactly. It looks right. This looks classic.
Gotcha.
Like,
thank
this match in particular, just like the visual of it, like with these two men, like, this looks like 95 wrestling to me, not knowing 95 wrestling.
Sure, that makes sense.
Really quick, before we go to finish or anything, please, let's have a conversation about the figure four. Uh-huh. What do we feel about it? What do we feel about it? You love a figure? I like this one too. Okay, cool. I just want to have that conversation because, like,
okay,
I like it a lot. I like it a lot, but I could see how some people might look at it and be like, what the fuck is happening right now? This is just like, I like this one a lot. I like a drawn out one specifically.
It is funny because I feel like you haven't seen, because since you've started really watching wrestling, you haven't really seen submission matches. Like modern wrestling submissions, I feel like are a little different. Most wrestlers have a submission finisher, but like, I feel like we're not seeing people tap that often anymore, right?
Interesting.
And I feel like back then it was like the figure four was like an iconic go-to move. The crossface, the
sharpshooter,
the Walls of Jericho, ankle lock. Yeah, like there was a lot more like, oh man, don't let them get in that position or else they're really going to be in trouble.
I mean, like, keep in mind again, like there's a, I call it out, but like King in this match is like, yeah, the leg he weakened at the Royal Rumble with the figure four. I'm like, that was in January. But again, that's Jeff's finisher, and that's how protected that finisher is like, you would still have a fucked up knee from a January figure four.
Wow.
And I love back to how good a heel Jeff Jarrett is and how good, not at the finish, but the roadie can be, but like when he's got Razor Ramon in the figure four and like Tim White's doing the counts and he's popping up and then Rhodey leaps in and grabs him to give him more leverage. So you're like, that's fucking cool.
Yeah. I think that's what brought it to like, okay, we're at 3 out of 5 territory for me.
Is the figure four where they go into the bridge as well, where they pop?
That's Charlotte when she does. Yeah.
The so cool. When you take it to the next level. Yeah,
or the Bifrost bridge, as we call it. And KFW.
Yeah. That's why I know.
Let's talk about the finish then. God damn it. You know, I mean, like, again, Jeff, I liked Rhodey's interference when the first Razor's Edge was on the table. He gets Jeff Jarrett up, and then he pulls him out through the second rope. And I was like, that's cool. When it's like he's getting another one of the very next, he just comes in and beats the shit out of Razor Ramon. I'm like, all right.
There's just a million refs. Like, right when I thought there's no way more people could get involved in this match, it happens. And I was like, I really, really, really did not like the end of this match at all until my boy JR comes out walking up the ramp.
Save that.
With, like, that to me.
Despicable conduct. You should be ashamed of yourself. He says, as he's already walking. The interview's done. He's still walking, shaming him.
Dude, I loved that. And I haven't seen something like that, I don't think.
Yeah.
And I just wish that what he was saying felt more backed up. Like, I felt like what he did was shameful and whatever. It just didn't read right to me. But seeing JR with, like, colored hair was, like, crazy to me. Like, I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah.
So I popped for that.
Yeah, JR yelling at Double J I have here is hilarious. Yeah, my outside of the humor aspect there, my silver lining would be the fact that, like, 1-2-3 Kid's getting up on these kicks.
Yeah.
Like, he's looking good. I mean, that was Sean Waltman's thing when he was the 1-2-3 Kid. And I guess a little bit as X-Pac, but as you get older, obviously, you're not getting up as high. But, like, you forget how limber this kid was and how big he was getting up. And even when Jeff Jarrett gets back in the ring or gets back control and he, like, grabs him and throws him up and, like,
he goes to the moon.
Dude.
That kid was gone.
Yeah.
Gone.
And again, it's like, for me, it's like, I don't like the finish. I appreciate that aspect of it. I appreciate what he's doing. I didn't even rewind it, though, I guess, because I was like, all right, well, I'm done. But I miss where Jarrett's nose gets bloodied. I don't know if there's,
When he jumped on top of him at the end, where he had the kid in the figure four leg lock, and then Razor Ramon jumped on it. It was pandemonium, like I said. How it felt. It was mayhem from the rip. And the cool jump kicks were pretty fire, though. Like, I was like, oh, man, this is pretty cool. I like this. And then, it just became nonsense, insanity. And then he had the belt and just walked away. And you're like,
we're done.
Here we go, everybody. I like this finish as opposed to what we've seen, right? Like, the traditional three count, there's the championship. We rest for a second. We talk. We kind of celebrate the winner. This was just wild. I haven't seen this in a WrestleMania, and I don't think we really are going to see many of these ever in my WrestleMania career. So, like, to get one of these, it's a rare occurrence. It's a special one, and I think it's fun and dumb and wild, and it feels like wrestling where you're on the edge of your seat going, I don't know what's happening now, and I'm here for it. So 3 out of 5 for me.
Whoa!
3 out of 5.
That's where I'm at, too, Mike. That's where I'm at.
Fun.
Because, like, for me, I don't give a shit about the continuing story of Double J and Razor Ramon, right? So it's like, for what it is, like, seeing so many, I was like, at first I was like, this is fucking stupid. Why? This is DQ. Okay, whatever. And then 1-2-3 Kid gets thrown in the fucking air. And then there's so many fucking refs in there. It's like, yes, okay.
This is
just so stupid. I'm going to enjoy it for what it is. So yeah, it worked in that dumb lizard brain.
It's just like, there's a chaos to it that doesn't feel like planned chaos, if that makes sense.
And it should have been. Someone probably should have planned the chaos.
So, Tim, where are you coming on your
show? I'm a one.
Wow.
Like, I'm a two.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad finish.
And then I love just kicking it to the backstage. I mean, this is a cool, like, I'm watching it right now on loop like we usually do. But, like, to have the backstage and you go back and it's like, oh, man, this is, like, very 90s. I don't recognize any of these wrestlers. This guy's just got a microphone.
You don't recognize Irwin R. Scheister, IRS?
I recognize Bret the Hitman Hart, but it's...
Nope, that's Shawn Michaels.
Oh, Shawn Michaels. But it's fantastic. It's fantastic going backstage. I love this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so overall, then, is the final one here. Roger, we start with you.
Ooh.
I was like, chew on my ice.
It's okay. That's good thinking.
At first, my first watch, I said 4 out of 5.
Wow, great.
I just had a fun time with it, but I watched it again today, and I was like, yeah, I see through it a little too much. I didn't have as much fun watching it the second time. I think it's a 3 out of 5. All the things we talked about, all the negatives kind of shined a lot more, but I was kind of just surprised because I didn't expect much. I didn't expect much going into this. I knew Razor Ramon is, like, the GOAT to a lot of people. I've seen Double J wrestle a few times here and there, but I think I was just, like, pleasantly surprised, but a 3 out of 5, I think, is where I landed.
Timmy?
It's a one, and again, I'm repeating myself a bit here, but, like, it's a WrestleMania match. Like, this, it has to be bigger and mean more. This would have been a 2 on a SmackDown or a Raw.
Okay. Ow. Mikey?
It's a 2 out of 5. It is not great. It is not WrestleMania quality, like you say, Tim. There is fun to be had. I love seeing young Double J as someone who has now met Jeff Jarrett. It is very cool to be like, oh, man, look at him right here in this time frame, right? And as someone who has never seen Razor Ramon, right, that was very cool as well. They had some cool spots. They had some fun moments. But no, this isn't going to line up high on our pantheon of WrestleManias we're ranking.
Yeah, for me, it's a two. I was in a similar boat of Roger where I think when I first did my notes last night, I put three.
Yeah.
And then when I'm talking it out with you guys, I'm just like, I just wouldn't ever recommend this. And we're going to have to rank here in a second, but it is that, you know, at the end, I think we're all going to be JBL Finley territory. And it is that, like, what feels like a WrestleMania match and what had a thing like a WrestleMania match, but we'll get to that later. Mm-hmm. For now, I'll remind you that if you like this show, you should support it over on Patreon or YouTube with the Kinda Funny membership. With the Kinda Funny membership, you can get each and every episode ad-free. You get all our other shows ad-free. You, of course, can watch us record this show and the other afternoon podcast live, ad-free. And, of course, you could get my multimedia experience, Gregway, each and every day. However, you're not using your membership benefits, so here's a word from our sponsor. This episode of WrestleMania Ranked is brought to you by WWE 2K24. Step into the ring and finish your story with new match types like ambulance and casket matches, a roster of more than 200 superstars and legends, new career mode experiences, and so much more. The latest installment of the franchise features several advancements, including 2K Showcase of the Immortals. 40 years in the making, WWE 2K24's Showcase mode puts players in control, playing through the most iconic moments in WrestleMania history, as 2K's distinctive slingshot tech seamlessly morphs from gameplay to live-action footage and back again for the most immersive WrestleMania video game experience to date. Finish your story with Standard Edition cover superstar, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, or Deluxe Edition cover superstars Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair when WWE 2K24 launches on March 5th with early access and March 8th worldwide. Pre-order WWE 2K24 and receive 1 month of Peacock, US only, and WWE 2K23 digital only to play while you wait.
This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays, an independent sunglasses brand that has over 300,000 five-star reviews. They are on a mission to match affordability with durability, making top-quality shades accessible to everyone. They have tons of styles and colors to pick from, so finding the perfect polarized shades is a breeze. If you want an upgrade, we recommend their premium Color Rush lenses. Crafted with rare earth materials, these lenses bring high-impact color to life, elevating reds, blues, and greens. Here at Kinda Funny, we all love wearing our Shady Rays, whether it's me looking dope doing my Pokemon Go walks, Snowbike Mike rocking the snow goggles, or Joey just looking fantastic in her tangle-free shades. If your shades go MIA or take a hit, don't sweat it. They've got lost and broken protection, so you're covered from day one. And if you don't love your shades, exchange or return them for free within 30 days. Exclusively for y'all, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off each pair of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off each pair of polarized sunglasses. This episode's brought to you by Robinhood. Did you know that even if you have a 401k for retirement, you can still have an IRA? Robinhood has the only IRA that gives you a 3% boost on every dollar you contribute when you subscribe to Robinhood Gold. But get this, now through April 30th, Robinhood is even boosting every single dollar you transfer in from other retirement accounts with a 3% match. That's right, no cap on the 3% match. Robinhood Gold gets you the most for your retirement thanks to their IRA with a 3% match. This offer is good through April 30th. Get started at Robinhood.com/boost. Subscription fees apply. And now for some legal info. Claim as of Q1 2024, validated by Radius Global Market Research. Investing involves risk, including loss. Limitations apply to IRAs and 401ks. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold for 1 year from the date of first 3% match. Must keep Robinhood IRA for 5 years. The 3% matching on transfers is subject to specific terms and conditions. Robinhood IRA available to U.S. customers in good standing. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker dealer.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Of course, this show is called WrestleMania Ranked and Reviewed. We've covered the review. We still need to rank it. But before we do that, while you all think about it, we'll do our very special segment, One Man Gang Gang, where Cool Greg comes out to give his thoughts on the match.
He was over there, right?
Cool Greg's the knight. No one knows where he is, what that, he does.
I look off and I go, man, I don't know where he could be.
He surprises me every time. You know what I mean? Where it's like sometimes.
I swear to God, he was there
at one point. Yeah, he was there at one point. I don't know where he is now. Kevin's got
him. Oh, he's running in. Cool Greg's running in.
Cool Greg's doing the running.
Like one of the refs at the end of the match.
Manage chaos like it was before.
There you go.
Our special segment, One Man Gang Gang with Cool Greg.
I'm so sorry about that. I'm usually out here. Gregway. Yeah, I'm kind of sad to see that you guys kind of agree with me on, I think this has its place at the bottom of the list. Yeah. I love Jeff Jarrett. I love what he does for us. But yeah, just too much, Big E says, meaty men.
Yeah, yeah.
Too much meaty men, man. Too much
meaty men. Meaty men slapping meat, I think it was.
Slapping man meat.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah. All right, well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Let's rank this among the other WrestleMania matches. So far, our list looks like this, top to bottom. Number one, The Rock versus Hulk Hogan, or Hollywood Hogan, actually, at WrestleMania X8. Undertaker versus HBK at WrestleMania 25. Number three, Austin versus Hart at WrestleMania 13. Number four, Becky versus Bianca at WrestleMania 38. Number five, Kofi versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 35. Number six, Bayley versus Charlotte versus Sasha versus Nia at WrestleMania 33. And then number seven, JBL versus Finley at WrestleMania 24. Where do we want to put WrestleMania 11 showdown between Razor Ramon and Jeff Jarrett?
Let's have a conversation, boys.
Let's do it.
I'll start it off. I look at the bottom of my list, and I go, man, JBL and Finley.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be conversation for that 7-8 spot in my mind, unless you all want to hype me up higher than that. But this will be towards the bottom. JBL Finley, mind you, man jumped out the ring into a trash can lid. It was pretty awesome, okay?
Yeah.
It was a lot of mayhem. It was a lot of fun. A little more constructed than this. So, from Snowbike Mike, I'm going to put this at number 8, bottom of my list.
Wow. Greg Miller, WWE superstar, is going to back Snowbike Mike.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
My thought there is, again, there's stuff to like in this match, but what it doesn't have is the gravitas of WrestleMania.
Yep.
It feels like a match you would see on WWE Superstars or whatever. Like, it doesn't feel like this was the ultimate. It didn't feel like WrestleMania, and this is a thing that could get strewn the wrong way, but for the most part, give me the good faith argument. WrestleMania shouldn't be used to write the next chapter, continue this feud, move it on. WrestleMania is supposed to be the definitive. You get there and you do the thing, and then whatever happens, happens from there on out. Sure. But like,
yeah,
this feels like something building up to a WrestleMania match that's going to be the four of them fighting. When it's like, well, no, what? Why would I be excited for that at the next one?
Yeah. Yeah, there's always backlash, but I agree with you.
Then there wasn't.
Oh, yeah?
No,
oh,
there wasn't backlash back then.
Interesting. Back then, was it just the big four?
Again, I'm not sure when they started introducing stuff, but yeah, I think it would have been around that time that we still have something like that. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm last with this one, and it really is just because the JBL Finley was the start of a WrestleMania, and that felt like the start of a WrestleMania. I popped multiple moments in that, whether it was the trash can thing or just some of the bigger spots. I had like, oh shit moments. This, the entire time, there was things to like. I don't think there was much to love, though. And in the JBL one, there were moments to love. So I'll put this one last.
You would have had In Your House still in the mix here. According to this random, another pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had a little house set. It was cool. Anyways.
Like, how small was the house?
Oh, it's just like the entryway.
Oh, okay. I thought they were fighting and they would like crush a little house.
Royal Rumble in January, WrestleMania in April, In Your House on May 14th. King of the Ring, June 25th. In Your House again, July 23rd. SummerSlam, August 27th. In Your House in September. In Your House in October.
Wow.
Survivor Series, shit. November. In Your House in December.
They had some great branding on that. Couldn't let it go.
The house party movies were big.
That must have been it, right? Yeah, yeah. Anyone want to argue out of the basement?
No, I mean, like, I mean, I've seen that some of the a lot of the top ones, but it's like, I'm not gonna say this is better than Bret Hart versus Stone Cold. Yeah, so yeah, if you guys think it's the worst, yeah, for sure.
Well, there you go, then, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Jarrett and Razor Ramon in WrestleMania 11 entering at the 8th spot, which means, of course, we have 2 weeks left.
Oh my
before
God.
We
oh my God
are there. We are watching WrestleMania live from Philadelphia. in deciding what happens next. We're very excited for that here. But to find out what match we're watching next week, we turned to WWE SmackDown announcer Corey Graves.
Whoa. Hey, it is the voice of Friday Night SmackDown, Corey Graves. And don't worry, Greg, I forgive you for the incessant text messages and DMs begging and pleading me on my day off to make you a video and tell you about my favorite WrestleMania match. Well, you're in luck, because I have the greatest WrestleMania match of all time picked out for you guys. Take it all the way back to WrestleMania 7, the career-ending match, the retirement match between the Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man Randy Savage, one of my favorites after all of these years, because it's about storytelling. It's about raw emotion from the moment the Warrior begins to doubt the gods and question himself to the aftermath, where if you don't shed a tear, I don't think you have a heart. Take a look.
Hey, I'm kind of excited. Like, look, I'm not looking forward to go even further back. Like, I feel like it's just getting kind of rough for my interests and understanding.
How, what you want professional wrestling to look like.
Exactly. And yeah, just, yeah. Yeah, all of it. Or even just the characters I'm familiar with. You know what I mean? Having said that, these are two people, Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man. Never seen their matches, wow, but really enjoy what I've seen of them in terms of their personality, sure, in terms of like the professional wrestler of it all. So I'm excited for that. And a retirement match, I'm a sucker for those. So.
Okay. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's your homework. WrestleMania 7, The Ultimate Warrior versus Macho Man. That's another episode of the Kinda Funny Screencast Special, WWE WrestleMania Ranked. Remember, each and every week leading up to WrestleMania 40, we're reviewing and ranking a match handpicked by our wrestling friends. If you love what we do, please support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get each and every episode ad-free, to watch us record the episodes live, to watch all the other shows ad-free and live as we record them, and of course, to get the multimedia experience Greg way. No bucks tossed our way, no big deal. Make sure you subscribe to youtube.com/kindafunny and the Screencast podcast feeds so you can get new episodes with ads and unexclusive stuff each and every time we post them. Mm-hmm. Until next time, ain't I great?